Thank God today, and this is Pastor Adams, president and founder of Truth Matters Ministries in Atlanta, Georgia. And so thankful. We're just so delighted that you've taken time out of your schedule to tune in and listen to this Truth Matters podcast. And we take very seriously the charge of being hosts in attendance of this very vital ministry of contending for the faith that has once and for all been delivered unto the saints according to Jude 3. And as our custom is, before we get into our teaching and examination for today, we want to pause and pray. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for another day we haven't seen before. We thank you for the people, Lord, that have taken time to listen and to participate in this podcast. We pray that their needs will be met. We pray a special blessing upon those who have been displaced and those who have been murdered, those who have been just destroyed and lives lost through the war in Ukraine. We pray, Lord, that there will be a swift intervention and that there will be a resolution to the carnage in that part of the world. We pray today, Lord, for your blessings upon those who are in the continent of Africa. We pray for all of our listeners throughout all of Asia, those who are in Ireland, those who are in the UK. We pray for those who are in the regions of the Middle East, those who are in Israel, the Qatar, and Egypt. We pray for those who are all over the Caribbean. We pray for Pastor Kimuo, who is one of our great supporters in the great country of the Philippines. We pray for them who are in Puerto Rico, those who are confronting dangerous storms and calamity. We pray that your will be done in every circumstance. Let someone's life be changed. Let someone, Lord, come to a firm foundation in your word. Let the confusion and misinformation that has woven a knot of confusion in the minds of your people, let it be unraveled today. Let peace, let it have its perfect work. We pray that everyone, Lord God, who listens today will find answers and their lives will be transformed in Jesus' name. Amen. And today we're going to be teaching on the topic entitled The Truth About Science. The Truth About Science. And we want you to pray for us. Now, I believe it's important that we start today that when I read the Bible, it tells me in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? It reveals that God made and performed creative activities, including creating Adam on the sixth day, and on the seventh day he rested. The Bible also tells us about chronology or time. It speaks of genealogies and generations that started from Adam into Abraham, and that was a total of 2,000 years. And then from Abraham to Jesus was another 2,000 years. Now, Jesus Christ, that time from Abraham to Jesus Christ and all the way back to Adam is a total of 4,000 years. And from Jesus Christ to today is another 2,022 years. Now, this is a biblical total of roughly 6,022 years since God created the world and mankind. I want you to stay with me because it's very important, because there's been a recent movement in the world that is called the scientific age, or known as the Age of Enlightenment. Because of the rise of geological and anthropology, and disciplines such as genetics and carbon dating have been accepted as scientific facts, and they claim to disprove what they call the myth of the unreliable biblical account of creation. Now, the popular yet dangerous reasoning is, if the Bible is incorrect about the creation, if it's incorrect about the generation and timelines, then it's also unreliable when it speaks about Adam and Eve. It's also unreliable when it speaks about Noah and the world being destroyed with water. It's unreliable when it speaks about Moses and the Ten Commandments, as well as the life and message of Jesus Christ, who claimed to be God in human form, and that all mankind must believe in and must accept him as Lord to be spared from the wrath to come. And so it's that purpose, it's that focus that causes us at Truth Matter to examine today if science is the ally or if science is the opponent of God in the Bible. And we must start by stating this. Science is an invented institution. Why do you say that, Pastor Adams? Well, the most curious aspect of the scientific world is that it really exists at all. Now, according to scientific writer Lauren Isley, listen to what he said. He says, Westerners often unconsciously assume a doctrine of inexorable progress, as though the passage of time leads inevitably to increased knowledge as surely as an acorn becomes an oak. Yep, the archaeologists would be forced to tell us that several great civilizations through time have risen and also vanished without any benefit of scientific philosophy. The type of thinking known today as science, with its experiments and mathematical formulas, arose from only one culture. What was that? It was Western Europe. Now, Mr. Lauren Isley also concludes, it is not natural to mankind at all. Science is an invented cultural institution and philosophy. It has rules that must be learned and practices and techniques which must be transmitted to generation to generation. It is not derived from human instinct. It demands some kind of unique soil in which to flourish. Deprived of that soil, it is capable of decay, death, as any other human activity. I find it interesting when you look at the comments of Pierre Dunham, who lived between 1861 and 1916. He was a French physicist and philosopher whose works inspired other historians to probe the various ways Christianity provided an intellectual environment that was conducive to scientific endeavor. He was instrumental in the turnaround in thinking science and religion were in conflict. He had phrases such as the war between science and religion are so familiar today, but people don't even challenge them. See, the facts show that the relationship between faith and science can best be described as, you ready for it, an alliance. The so-called war, according to scientist Colin Russell, is a recent invention. He said in the late 19th century, a small group of scientists and scholars organized under humanist Thomas Huxley, they had an aim and a focus of overthrowing the cultural dominance of Christianity in the world. Did you hear me? Their goal was to secularize society, replacing the Christian worldview with the scientific worldview of naturalism, a worldview that recognizes the existence of nature only. See, this brand of science became a religion in itself. What do we call it? We call it the church scientific. It should not be surprising that Christianity was an important ally of scientific enterprise originally. Modern science arose from a culture of saturated Christian thinking and philosophy. Science focused primarily on nature. Christianity teaches that the world or nature has great value as God's creation. God said it was good. So Christians, we must embrace this material world in which we live. But sadly, we in the church are being gaslighted by secular scientists. And I guess if I could use an urban term, we just can't fall for the okey-doke. In biblical teaching, nature is good, but it is not a God. It is merely a creature. Nature is the component that manifests the character and nature of an orderly God. How many times have you turned on the Discovery Channel or watched Mutual Omaha's Wild Kingdom and seen this immense, intricate balance of order in nature? Contrary to atheists and agnostics insisting that science and scientists have disproved God, I want you all just to listen to what some of the most renowned scientists testify about God. Ancient chemist Val Holman said, I believe that nature is the command of God, whereby a thing is that which it is, and doth that which it's commanded to do or act by God. Isaac Newton, one of the world's foremost scientists, said, the world might have been otherwise than it is. 'Twas not necessary to be other than it is, but it is a voluntary and free determination by God that it be thus what it is. Copernicus argued that there can be many centers of gravity because gravity is bestowed on the parts of bodies by what? The Creator. Wernher von Braun, one of the most renowned scientists within the 20th century, he said this. He says the idea of creation is inconceivable without God. Albert Einstein is regarded as the most prolific modern scientist, who was responsible for the theory of relativity, E equals mc squared. Many secularists and atheists point to Einstein and his scientific theories as support of their focus on nature only. But let's look at what Einstein believed and what his research revealed about our worldview. Einstein finally realized, while analyzing atoms, which are the building blocks of matter, that God does not play dice with our universe. Everything is held together by an orderly and unchanging God. Now, in spite of the fact that the words of the most accomplished scientists believe in God and his creative work, there is still a large contingent of secular philosophers, scientists, and agnostics and atheists who stand firm on the idea that science disproves God and creation. The most renowned scientists see their findings and experiments as proof of the authenticity of Scripture, while the secular scientist sees theirs as proof that the Bible is not true. Now, my question is, they both have the same data and information, don't they? So why do they have such contrasting and differing worldviews? Well, it's very simple. It is all based upon presupposition and conditioning. Now, there's an amazing dynamic that occurs in our brain that allows us to easily become brainwashed, or to only see things in a preconceived manner. Now, if you would just allow me for a minute, I want to perform a quick demonstration to those who are listening to this podcast. You ready? Okay. Now, picture this in your mind. You leave your home. You leave home, right? And you begin to run. Then you turn left. You run some more. And then you turn left again. And you run some more. And then you turn left one more time. And then you head home. But as you're heading home, you see two men with masks staring and waiting for you. Now my question is, what picture did your mind and brain draw? Well, I'm going to give you what the correct description was I was sharing. I was sharing a baseball player running around the bases and then seeing a bat catcher and an umpire standing near home plate. Now, most of you listening today probably saw a man running through a neighborhood and returning to their house, and in the darkness or in the shade, two robbers were waiting there. You see what I mean? Presuppositions and conditioning will steer your mind to only see things through a preconceived, distorted lens. Let's look at a popular secular position that opposes the Bible. Now, many of our young college students who have been brainwashed by seeming conflict between science and the Bible. It is the young earth versus the old earth debate. Now, you might say, Pastor Adams, this is not even a significant topic for discussion or examination. But I'm going to tell you what, we at Truth Matters must disagree with that, because if the Bible is not correct about creation and the age of the earth, then why should we trust it for our life's future, our life's conduct, direction, wisdom, and salvation? Listen to me. Even James Usher, who lived from 1581 to 1656, the famous and respected Archbishop of Ireland in the 17th century, is today greatly ridiculed for declaring that the world was created in 4004 BC. However, this date was widely accepted until people began to believe in ideas such as the earth was created billions of years ago, and that there's billions of years of earth history. In other words, man started trusting in the latest secular findings based upon fallible dating methods instead of the only absolutely reliable methods. What is that? Consulting the history book provided by the eyewitness account, which is the infallible word of God. If we just pause and look at man's reliance on science, there has been a constant readjustment of the so-called facts due to science developing and having more advancements that supersede previous held established positions. See, history affirms men thought that scientifically that the sun evolved and traveled around the earth, didn't it? Man did not realize that the earth had an axis that rotated, which caused our seasons to change. Man once believed the scientific view that the world was flat until around 1500 years ago. We know what science is ever changing. It constantly moves the goalposts even while the game of life is still in progress. Now, let's get back to the scientific objection of God creating the world 6,000 years ago. Have you read an article about a new fossil that paleontologists found in the ground? And it was dated to be 9 million years old. They announced that they found a skeleton that was unearthed and it was a human remains. And they dated that skeleton as 5 million years old. Now, the person who has read and studied their Bible reasons, the Bible record calculated that it was about 6,000 years since Adam was created, and they began to question, is the Bible right or is secular science correct? See, an important question must be asked. Does the geologic time scale fit with the young earth view? This is a good one to examine. Not all scientists and not all Christians agree on how the evidence seen in geology can be harmonized with the biblical young earth account. Some, even those who believe the Bible is true and God is the creator, deny that the young earth view can be harmonized with observations in what they call the geologic time scale. Now, how does this discipline function? Now, listen to me. This is important. This is how it works. Rock layers in the Earth's crust are examined by geologists to gauge how long ago these materials were deposited. In some cases, these layers called strata may contain remnants from a plant and an animal life buried and preserved throughout the fossilization. In some cases, specific fossils are unique to certain layers and are referred to as index fossils. Now, paleontologists, scientists who study ancient plants and animals, frequently use assumptions about fossils to date rock layers. Ultimately, the geologic column and the accepted geologic timescale are like most other aspects of human knowledge. What are they? They are fallible and subject to change, but not to be dismissed entirely. It is easy to be overwhelmed with conflicting claims. An avalanche of competing evidence for those without deep scientific knowledge is not especially helpful. In the end, the most reliable conclusion a non-expert can draw about the geologic time scale is that you have to maintain open-mindedness. Now, we at Truth Matters Ministry must firmly assert, you listening? Nothing discovered in geology in any sense casts doubt on the veracity or the reliability of the Bible. Say that again, Pastor Adams. Nothing discovered in geology in any sense casts doubt on the veracity or the reliability of the Bible. Scientists who take scripture to be infallible and inerrant sometimes disagree exactly on how to interpret these observations. Some of the the geologic time scale, it is not subject explicitly stated in the Bible. There is an ample room for Christians to come to different conclusions. Now let's examine what's called the radiometric dating, which secular scientists claims does not fit with the young earth view. The three key underlying assumptions in radiometric dating are: one, the rate of decay of parent or daughter has remained constant throughout the observable past. Two, the specimen being examined hasn't been contaminated in any way. That is, no parent or daughter has been added or taken away from any point during the observable past. And three, we can determine how much parent and daughter were present at the beginning of the decay process or constitution of the specimen. If any of these assumptions are wrong, the method cannot accurately determine the age of the specimen. Do you hear me? All of the presuppositions and all of the conditions that must be exact and constant for us to come to an accurate determination of age is overwhelming. First, this is perhaps the greatest point of potential error, as assumptions about dating can lead to secular reasoning or choosing confirming results rather than accepting a wrong date. Second, radiocarbon dating becomes more difficult and less accurate as the sample gets older. Listen to what I'm saying. The bodies of living things generally have concentrations of isotope better known as carbon-14, also known as radiocarbon, identical to concentrations in the atmosphere. When an organism dies, it stops taking in new carbon-14, and whatever is inside gradually decays into other elements. Now, carbon-14 normally makes up about 1/1,000,000,000th of the Earth's total atmosphere. So even brand new samples contain incredibly tiny quantities of radiocarbon. Another point of consideration is secular anthropologists suggest that dinosaurs were here millions of years before man. I'm sure you all have heard that, and you know, you've probably seen the movie Jurassic Park. And we can't forget that dinosaurs are described in the Bible. Did you know that? Turn to the book of Job, the 40th chapter and the 18th verse. Those dinosaurs were called the behemoth. Isaiah in the book of Psalms described those water dinosaurs or creatures by calling them the Leviathan. They lived in the sea. Egyptian potteries were decorated with dinosaur images. They have unearthed and discovered many caves with a plethora of dinosaur drawings. How could there be dinosaur drawings in caves thousands of years ago if dinosaurs only existed millions of years before man came? History records philosopher Aristotle, Herodotus, and many other kings had chariots that were drawn by dinosaurs, which were then only known as dragons, a worldwide name for dinosaurs. In fact, the name dinosaur was not introduced in the world until around 1841 by a man named Richard Owen. Now, archaeologist Stuart Manning and colleagues have revealed variations in the radiocarbon cycle at certain periods of time, affecting frequently cited standards used in archaeological and historical research relevant to the southern Levant region. I want you to listen, this is very important, which includes the region around Israel, Jordan, and Egypt. The authors measured a series of carbon-14 ages in southern Jordan and tree rings, which established calendar dates between 1610 and 1940. They found that the contemporary plant material growing on the southern Levant shows an average offset or variance in radiocarbon age of about 19 years compared to the northern region hemisphere standard of the calibration curve. Now hear me. Sometimes radiocarbon dating methods gives results that are totally wrong. One example is the KNMER-1470 fossil that was found in Kenya by Bernard Genio, a field worker for the famous paleoanthropologist Richard Leakey. When the original sample of the volcanic tuff was given to the laboratory, the potassium argon date was listed at 230 million years old. Now, as an example of how presuppositions affect the results and findings of scientists, one of the most renowned secular scientists is Mary Switzer. When she was examining a dinosaur bone, she claimed that bone was 68 million years old. But during that examination, she found inside the bone tissue that was still soft. It was so soft, in fact, she could stretch it when she pulled it with the forceps. Then she discovered blood vessels inside that bone. Now, biologically, organic molecules cannot last more than 100,000 years. And she discovered organic molecules in that same bone that she said was 68 million years old. Instead of admitting the bone was not as old as she thought, she responded that science has to rethink its chemical process because the two masked men can't be a bat catcher and an umpire. Another example of erroneous scientific dating is the lava flows that were dated during that had very critical results. Now, standing roughly in the center of New Zealand's North Island in Mount Ngaruroho, in New Zealand's newest volcano, one of its most active volcanoes as well. It is not as well publicized as the larger close neighbor Mount Ruapehu, which has erupted briefly several times in the last 5 years. Now, Mount Ngaruroho is thought to have been active at least 2,500 years, having more than 70 eruptive periods since the year 1839, when the first European settlers recorded a steam eruption there in New Zealand. The first lava eruption seen by Europeans occurred in 1870. Then there was ash eruptions every few years into a major explosion eruption in April to May in 1948, followed a lava flow down the northwestern slopes in February 1949. When the rock forms or hardens, there should only be parent radioactive atoms in the rock and no daughter radiogenic derived by radioactive decay of another element or atoms. Now, after hardening, the rock must remain in a closed system. That is, no parent or daughter atoms should be added to or removed from the rock by external influences such as percolating groundwaters, or the radioactive decay rate must remain totally constant. Now, this is what they discovered during their examination. The dates that they obtained concluded the rock's ages range from 2.7 to 3.5 million years old. And this is so important. They determined that those rocks were 2.7 to 3.5 million years old, but they were looking at the rocks that other people observed had cooled just 25 to 50 years ago. So they took rocks that they saw erupted and cooled 25 to 50 years ago, and when they did their test on them, they concluded that the rocks were 2.7 to 3.5 million years ago. Things that make you say, huh. Now, one sample from each flow was claimed by scientists to be 2.7 to 2.9 million years old, but the low age samples were all processed by the laboratory in the same batch, suggesting a systematic lab problem. So the lab manager kindly rechecked his equipment and he reran several of the samples, producing similar results. This ruled out a systematic lab error and confirmed that the low results were real. Furthermore, repeat measurements on samples already analyzed did not reproduce the same results, but this was not surprising given the analytical uncertainties as such low levels of argon. Clearly, the argon content varies greatly within these rocks. Some geochronologists would say, well, 3.5 million years is exactly the correct date, but how would they know that the 3.5 million years was not the correct age if they did not already know that the lava flows were recent, because these rocks are known to be less than 50 years old. Their claimed dates were drastically wrong. So we at Truth Matters conclude that the radioactive potassium argon dating between the demonstrated failed of 1949, 54, and 75 lava flows at Mount Garahoa, New Zealand, were absolutely wrong. However, we at Truth Matters do know someone who was present when all of Earth's rocks formed. Who was that? He is the Creator himself. He told us when that was in his eyewitness account that's written in the Bible, the first book, Genesis. So we know how old the rocks are. How much better to place our confidence in the Creator who made and knows everything and who never fails or tells lies than trusting a radioactive dating method that has been repeatedly demonstrated to fail and yield false ages for the age of rocks in the earth. I was in the military, and when I was in the military, we performed land navigation, and it was a way that we would maneuver and determine our enemy's position and locations. This was before they had GPS and satellite assistance. We depended on terrain association and compasses. There were somewhat reliable methods such as map coordinates and magnetic north or grid north, but the only sure north, which is called the true north or the Polaris, the North Star that God permanently placed in the constellation Ursa Minor. It's a constant, unchanging reference point that is dependable. Seamen, they've navigated their ships all across the world looking at the North Star. Architects and engineers have depended on its constant, unmovable truth to build societies, travel, and use as a foundation for our lives. We can depend on what God has provided, which is His Word. It will never fail us, and it will never change. Science is a discipline that relies upon repetitive, accurate results in all environments and times before it can be relied upon. America has just launched the new Webb Space Telescope, which has discovered new galaxies, new planets and moons, black holes, particles that comprise rings around Saturn and other planets and compositions in our Milky Way. Science has never controverted a biblical claim. Science has never controverted a biblical claim, whether it's paleontology, archaeology, biology, or astronomy. When there appears to be contention, science eventually evolves and progresses to discover what God already told us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God bless you, and you pray for us in Jesus' name. Amen.